Universe.
Go to a place far and away, forget my own name. I wanna feel like a star and go to the bar and let the song play. Come on, shut the fuck up about your boyfriend, tonight's about us. I lose the feel in my brain, down in the drain, I'm getting profane. I'm a freak of nature, it's in my bones. Maybe it's in my nature, losing control. I'm just a freak of nature, I'm in the walls. Maybe it's in my nature, losing control. Could throw a punch in my face, a shot has no taste, I can't feel a thing. I'm spinning out of control, the phone's on the floor, I'm letting it ring. Come on, you're always uptight, so nice and polite, so fuck it, get wild. Go home and get in the game, there's nothing to say, I'm feeling insane. I'm a freak of nature, it's in my bones. Maybe it's in my nature, losing control. I'm just a freak of nature, I'm in the walls. Maybe it's in my nature, losing control.
This is episode 442 of the Anarchist News Podcast, a digest and or conversations on anarchist activity, ideas, and comments from the previous week on anarchistnews.org. This is for the week of November 15th through November 21st, 2025. What's new this week? Thoughts on Maoist group seriously injuring anarchists at Athens Polytechnic from Anon. An account of a significant ramping up of violence between nominal peers in Greece. Quote, a group of 150 or so ARAS members who had gathered from all over Greece for this purpose came early in the morning to the campus under the direction of their much older leader. They were coordinated, wearing armor under their matching jackets, helmets, and carrying clubs. As one of them began filming, the ARAS guys formed a tight, linked-arm cordon around the 30 or so anarchists, kettling them, and began loudly, falsely, accusing the anarchists of having knives, Molotovs, etc., to make sure the other gathered leftists around the campus could hear, and shouting, "You will not squat!" This is already bizarre behavior, uncharacteristic behavior, and to say the least, inappropriate. Then, the leader of ARAS shouted, "Helmets!" and the ARAS troops donned their protective helmets and mounted their attack on the unprepared and unarmed anarchist students. Unquote. This is a good report with both historical context for the event and the groups involved. Quote, even at ARAS meetings, they beat each other to settle disputes, which I think is kind of cute. Back when I was an apolitical hooligan, I would go out with my friends on a weekend looking for a fight, and if we didn't find one, we would end up fighting each other. So again, their so-called thuggishness is not something I wring my hands about. But there is a very large difference between a fist fight and what happened this morning. Unquote. Etc. Well worth reading. That was Thoughts on Maoist Group Seriously Injuring Anarchists.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Anarchist and anti-fascist organizations in Europe
face terrorism designation by U.S. regime from Abolition Media. The U.S. ramps up its war of them against us. Two of the newly designated groups are in Greece, another is based in Germany, and a fourth is based in Italy. Quote, "This is not the first time anarchist organizations have faced such a designation. The Conspiracy Cells of Fire and Revolutionary Struggle have both faced the same designation from the U.S. regime. But the expansion of this process, as the U.S. is launching internal fascist repression, makes this incredibly significant." Unquote. "We are enemies of the state, aiming everything they have at us will suck for us. Will they survive it?"
A basket of thoughts from Abolition Media by Massimo Passamani. Thoughts from Passamani in support of Palestinian action hunger strikers. As someone who frequently has scattered but sometimes interesting thoughts that I can't always fit into a coherent single thread, let me just say that basket of thoughts is an entirely relatable metaphor for that. Quote, "I am convinced because I feel it in every fiber of my soul that the worldwide stirring against the genocide in Gaza and against the global system that makes it possible is a new start, a beginning. In addition to what has happened in the streets, in the ports, in the universities, in addition to the sabotages done by day and by night, the protests that link prisoners across cell bars, countries, and continents are also an important sign of this. First of all, because the relationship being created between inside and outside is one of reciprocity and circularity." Unquote. May we all live up to this vision.
Shaping Anarchist Narratives from anarchistagency.com. Tempted to start this with From the Sublime to the Ridiculous, but let's give agency a little grace. This is an article that defends their tactic to broaden the understanding of, and hence sympathy with, anarchists writ large. Or, let's be real, at least anarchists who they like. The question of how anarchists interact with mainstream and or corporate culture is one that we all have to deal with, at least on an individual level. So agency being transparent here about their reasoning at least provides a lens to look at that topic again. I'd say that is about what this piece is good for. This piece does the classic arguing for the lesser evil, in this case, legacy media. The argument being that no matter how corporate legacy media is, it is better than the explicitly repressive dungeon report or whatever. The piece makes the rookie mistake of conflating journalists with the media they work for, the same kind of mistake that gets people excited about AOC. Quote, "If we choose to talk to mainstream reporters, then our job isn't just to give them information in hopes they will report our activities and views accurately. It's twofold. First, to understand what they are covering, how our work and our perspective can fit into it, and how to make ourselves valuable to them as sources. Second, to educate them about what anarchism means and why, what it aspires to, and what it is not." Unquote. Newsflash! I don't want them to understand us! It's like giving your abusive partner the woke language to confuse you with. But I'm happy that anarchist is a crazy broad label. No, I am. And we'll just ignore that I'm here making a publicly available anarchist podcast. Ignore it, I say!
New issue of Intention from Bloomington, Indiana, from intention.noblogs.org. This post is just links to the PDF, which is sadly a series of images and so not searchable. I have liked each issue of this so far, and this one doesn't disappoint. Read the piece on Trailing Arbutus if you've ever been infuriated by the names of cars like, for example, Winnebago, Thunderbird, etc. There's a piece on why masks are still and forever a good idea, another on psychiatry as social control and the Reaganification of the U.S., as California governor, Reagan defunded mental health institutions in favor of imprisoning more people, a decision still reverberating. Then there are some action reports, how to more safely break glass, etc., problems with hot fashion for those who haven't been paying attention, how data centers are terrible. There's a column about a kid's book called Miss Leoparda, and finally a poem by June Jordan, who was not an anarchist, but this poem would work as a response to the preceding piece by Anarchist Agency. Quote, "I plan to give you reasons for your jumpy fits and facial tics." Unfucking quote.
That actually seemed interesting to me. From Columbia,
you got to do the headline, dude.
Oh. This is a headline. From Columbia, cleaning house is mostly a political metaphor. From Columbia, Missourian by Noah Ciella. A wannabe slash ex bumper sticker haver writes about settling into a conceptually boring life by comparing it to what he understands of his house cleaner. It's nice or condescending or whatever, but I'd rather hear from her. Hey, Suze, you out there?
A Rainbow of Struggles from Balkan Anarchist Book Fair 2025 by the Thessaloniki Organizing Assembly and the Balkan Solidarity Network. Lots of folks came together for a three-day event that had lots of workshops and some musical events. Critical feedback is given at the end. An extensive and informative report back that reads exactly like it was written by two different groups who both take things very seriously, which makes me not trust it, especially when they suggest their changes for the future.
That's a word.
What do you mean not having multiple workshops at a time? So everyone has to be in the same conversations as each other? There's one agenda? Fuck that noise. No rainbows here, actually. But yeah, thanks for the report back. Meh.
One color at a time.
Totally.
Responsibility claim for attack on two jumbo store chains in Athens. From Act for Freedom Now. Quote, this company is notorious for its intensive, flexible working hours. Is this supposed to be inflexible working hours?
I don't know. This is what it said.
Quote, this company is notorious for its intensive, flexible working hours, starvation wages, violation of labor rights and non-payment of established benefits, vindictive dismissals and targeting of employees, as well as workplace accidents. Moreover, we cannot forget the pioneering proposal by Apostolos Vakikis, president of the Jumbo Group, for a 7-day working week, a reduction in public holidays, and the deregulation of work hour timeline. His audacity does not stop there, however, as he has chosen, for the strategic development of the group, to collaborate with the Israeli company Fox Group and open stores in Israel. Huge, ultra-luxurious stores, which in some cases resemble golden castles,
oh my God,
but which are not enough to make you forget the atrocities being committed just a little further away. Unquote. The claim mentions Kyriakos, Palestine, and those persecuted in the Empolokiki case.
8 anarchist detainees from the Chaos Star case have been transferred into court. From Act for Freedom Now, a brief update and listing of the names of 8 folks who have now had their first court date and all of whom have been tortured. There is a snail mail address to support them mentally and politically. Also, a call for donations to Anarchist Black Cross to help them get lawyers.
Greek anarchist assembly text before sectarian attack. From Abolition Media. Another take on the attack that this week's roundup started with. This says it's a translation of the statement from the assembly itself. It starts by refuting that the attacking group, AROS, is Maoist, without ever explaining what their criteria is or why the group's Maoist nature is such a, quote, persistent misunderstanding, unquote. Somewhat oddly organized into a before the ousting of the dictatorship in 1973, after said ousting, and now. It's entirely historical and general. At no point in the greater text is the group AROS even mentioned, nor is the sectarian attack itself. Right. This was the text to be released before AROS attacked. Then why start out with the AROS attack as if they're related? Just odd. Moving on.
Report on Black Rose Rosa Negra's 2025 National Convention from Black Rose Federation, from one kind of violence against anarchists to another kind. Black Rose did a 3-day event for their 11th National Convention. Here they talk about how great it was. So great.
Anarchists, the first convicted for unknown soldier tomb protest. The National Herald by staff the National Herald. A brief mainstream report of 23 members of Ravikanas being, quote, the first to break a new law banning protests at the site of the tomb of the unknown soldier under Parliament, unquote. They don't want us to have any fun.
Obituaries, farewell to our Ignatius from Athens Indie Media. A short but sweet goodbye. Quote, in recent years, he also participated in other political and social collectives, at times in the anti-authoritarian movement and EMPROS, while maintaining a steady presence in the Makareverse collective and, of course, attending all the movement's events. However, his long-standing and multifaceted participation in the occupation of the Petropolis Botanical Garden was what marked him. There, he played a leading role in all the individual actions of the occupation, which concerned the street, the hosting of refugees, and the theater group, participating in numerous performances. Unquote. Every day is another day to consider how you'd like to be remembered and what to do to make it happen.
Audio and video! Can Catholics be anarchists? From U.S. Catholic, 50 Minutes. David Graeber, Rebecca Solnit are quoted here, and Tolstoy and Dorothy Day are referenced. The guest is informative and inoffensive, and acknowledges at least some of the diversity of anarchist thought. There was a good point early on in this podcast, guess what I'm thinking of, which made me swallow my anti-Christian bias for long enough to post this podcast. The hosts have reasonable questions. There's nothing embarrassing here, just ignore the many depredations of Christianity over the centuries. We can have a knee-jerk rejection of religion, and especially specifically Christianity, and still learn things from people steeped in a tradition that is older and even more complicated and varied than anarchist thought is. Don't tell anyone I said that. That was Can Catholics Be Anarchists? Don't be held back by the obvious answer to that title.
Hello, I am Vic, and we are doing the topic of the week this week, and the title is On the Creation of an Anarchist Culture, and I am with
Artemis.
What's up?
Hey. So, reading this here, the culture of systematic hierarchy and exploitation has permeated every aspect of our way of life to the point where one feels as though they must tread water or drown in it. The infrastructure of this machine of slavery and death is now actively implementing a new greater totalized state of centralization and control. Even within individuals, these prisons are being built and rebuilt. On every level, the society around us seeks to make us expendable pieces in its own mechanized self-perpetuation to the point where every other lifeway is foreclosed upon or recuperated into its function, so not only is it going along with the program, always easier feeling, but we are rapidly approaching an either such diffused spectacular culture that there are shrinkingly few ways to not be a patriot, or a brutal and violent reconstruction of the settler colonial white supremacist core of the empire at expense of all others. Each of these paths does little to mitigate the problems that spawn them. In this increasing state of normalized exceptions, anarchists are pulled into the universalization of this process through the recuperation of their subcultures and the rejection of the now carved out hollow paths of a subcultural divergence. The sky is dark, but the horizon is bright. Too bad it's smoke and fire, and no dawn is sure to come. What could it mean to find an, not the, anarchistic fluid and holistic lifeway within this inferno? Is there a way to become indigestible to the system?
What is the material difference between counterculture and culture, and how can anarchists intentionally and critically prepare to cross the divide? What cultural strategies of thriving against assimilation or recuperation within a larger hostile culture could be helpful to anarchists? How can anarchists create a culture with active aspects and rituals and practices for the purpose of lifting each other up and deprogram the systematic violence that lives within us so that we may form our own anarchistic conceptions of things?
And this topic of the week is a guest one from Glare, just to say that. And this is great. I just want to say maybe less words and proofread would be appreciated.
Yeah, a couple of typos, but we soldiered on.
So do you wanna open this up?
Sure. Yeah. So for me, this is definitely a question I think about very often. It's kind of the, at least for the past few years and currently, I would say, is at the core of what I'm doing in terms of anarchy. It's trying to contribute to a local anarchic or anarchist or, I suppose anarchist culture that contains deeper conversations, isn't centered around sloganeering or participating in the internet or kind of activist attitudes of we have to always be doing something that engages with like local or national politics. A culture for me is something that is fulfilling and sustainable and helps me feel like I'm participating in something that is like enriching my life, not in some not in just a positive way where it's like every day is joy, but I want to feel as if I'm living an interesting life, I guess, to use that word in a non-margarine word way, like interesting that I have something to think about what's happening around me and my interactions with the people around me. I think early on when I got into anarchy, it was the thing that was very accessible to me was punk and also activist scenes, and I became kind of disillusioned with punk pretty early on, though I continued to participate and still do. I think that it often, the conversations are really shallow, and it's more like a social gathering around certain aesthetic signifiers or slogans, you know. And when I started thinking about these things more and trying to have kind of more long form and conversations, or trying to kind of like provoke people to defend some slogan that they had on their jacket or something, I wasn't really getting what I wanted out of those provocations or interactions. And the other thing that was accessible to me is activism, and it just felt like a lot of it just didn't feel sustainable. It felt like there was this pressure to just keep doing something so that you felt like you were doing something. And maybe the conversations were a bit deeper. They also just felt predictable and rested on a lot of like moralistic assertions that I just kind of got bored of. And I also was noticing that people didn't stick around very long, and I couldn't really blame them because the whole thing was just kind of this like really hectic kind of treadmill, you know, of like throw yourself into the struggle that kind of doesn't give you much, but you can at least feel like you're sacrificing something for this imagined moment that you're all getting, like moving towards of the revolution or whatever, or some sort of like change or something. And I just noticed that it was mostly young people, and I at a certain point wanted more intergenerational interaction and like realize I'm probably not I mean, I tried to get out of anarchy, basically, and it just didn't happen because no other place felt like home to me. And so I was like, well, if I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, like, I want it to feel sustainable. I want there to be people of different generations and stuff. And so I kind of committed to trying to make that a reality, at least where I live and for myself and my friends. And that's what I've been doing.
Yeah. I want to read very quickly from John Moore, Beyond the Fragments, A Reaction to Industrial Society and Its Future, where he says, you know, he's referring to Ted Kaczynski's idea of revolutionary strategy and all that. And he says, you know, to put it bluntly, at best, FC have got things ass backwards. Human regeneration can only emerge from cultural regeneration. By cultural, I mean not the system of commodified mediations that currently pass under this term, but freely chosen actions and interactions characterized by spontaneous creativity. The attempt to prompt human regeneration in the absence of cultural regeneration can all too easily result in totalitarianism. Human and cultural regeneration are dialectically interrelated, but the latter provides an all-important context within which the former can succeed. And I think of some of that, like the activism. If there's no cultural regeneration, or at best what that is cancel culture and purity politics, where are we going? What world, so to speak, are we trying to build in the shell of the old? You know, I have no interest in a culture of what we have now of the police, internal and external, or a world in which apparently people want a world with no cops external, just internal, where you have to be perfect, right? And maintain this sort of social justice ethic, right? And I'm not trying to get into all of that, but point being, I also find what you're talking about is a disillusionment with certain spaces. And I too have explored very recently, like, a world outside of anarchism, but it keeps bringing me back, right? Because it does feel like home. I think that's a perfect way to put it. I appreciate that. But it's a home that's still lonely in a lot of ways. I mean, I will say locally, there's a really strong effort, some anarchists here to build food sustainability outside of capitalism, right? Like local farms, Three Sisters oriented, and it's some beautiful work that I think is a part of that culture regeneration, right? To be able to feed yourself is a material aspect of culture. And what is that, you know, what is that? Well, I think there's different ways you can interpret culture almost anthropologically. Is like, how does it feed itself? What's its relationship to food? That's one way. That's not, I'm not saying that's the only way, but that to me gives me a sense of, you know, hope, lacking a better word, but I'm inspired by that. But I'm with you where if I'm going to live in anarchy and seek anarchy, I want it to feel more like home, and I want it to be intergenerational, and I want there to be sustainability between generations and things like that. So I'm with you on that. What I'm curious about is this first question, and maybe you have some thoughts, is the difference between counterculture and culture. Like, can anarchism create its own culture, or do you think it's tied to counterculture, even subculture? Like, what do you think about some of those dichotomies?
I mean, I think that, at least in my context, I am trying to intervene into subcultures to pressure them or provoke them to become countercultures, that they aren't just like, to me, punk a lot of the time, for example, which is like the thing I have probably most experience with, is a subculture in that it often, most often, functions according to the same logics as dominant society, but it's just, it's like a mini version of that that's kind of dressed differently and has its different language. But often there's not that much, like, self-awareness of the way that it's repeating the same patterns that are happening in society. There's just not that much yeah, conversation, or I guess like real genuine effort towards being more imaginative and moving in some different kind of way, and being intentionally oppositional. And so, and I'm not gonna completely shit on it or whatever. Like, I think there are some ways that, especially with like some DIY stuff, there's some examples, right? Or there's definitely some examples when punk was more countercultural or even like moved into a kind of its own culture type thing. But most often, and what I'm having most kind of contact with is it is like this mini society that just dresses different and claims to have different values, but really when you just dig a little under the surface, it's kind of more of the same bullshit. And so I don't think I don't feel that I am the question of like, how do we move from counterculture to culture? I'm like not even faced with that question necessarily in a lot of what I'm mm-hmm. participating in terms of like kind of social spaces that aren't just my direct group of friends that is like a really small pocket of people, but these larger groups of people that are maybe 100 people or whatever, a couple of hundred people. Like, I think those are subcultural spaces that are pretty shallow mm-hmm. generally, and the same can be mm-hmm. said with these like self-described political spaces as well. Mm-hmm. I don't see them as counter to anything. Like, I mean, I guess just in the way that they speak of themselves, they're counter, but they're definitely like, I think you have to first create a thing that's truly like oppositional in the way that you're interacting with each other, the way you're living life, and then from there you mm-hmm. can build something like a culture that is like, to me, is a thing that spans a greater, it looks different across time, you know. It's like a culture isn't just a scene that pops up for a couple of years or whatever. But maybe mm-hmm. maybe I'm like putting too much of emphasis on that and the kind of intergenerational aspect. But for me, that feels really important.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah, I'm not someone who's ever really been into or highly engaged by counter or subcultures. I mean, you know, as someone who's queer in a sense, that and like growing up and still identifying somewhat with the emo scene. Mm-hmm. But I've never been really tied to it, so I can't speak as much the way you are with that relationship, which is interesting, and I can appreciate it. I don't know. And I also think about the Belarusian group. Oh my gosh, I just published something from them. I'm blanking on their name. Revolutionary Action.
Mm-hmm.
And their critique of the limitations, and they go in this total way that you and I would disagree with this militant anarchism.
Mm-hmm.
But this idea that anarchism is just stuck as a subculture, right? An expression of punk, right? But then we saw that get commodified. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't the answer. And as you say, there's disillusionment with it in your own life.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, it's like, is there something wrong with being a counterculture? And I'm sure someone could propose the idea of, well, if you're only counter to something and ever for something, sure, I don't know. But I don't know. It's interesting because I almost want to make historical comparisons, like the Moors, like those that dropped out, particularly like runaway slaves that built their own cultures
mm-hmm.
in these like those dropout societies, so to speak, or could you consider those to have been countercultures in their own ways? I don't know. It depends how wide you want to stretch that definition. I'm probably stretching it way too far, but yeah, I don't know. Interesting.
I mean,
I don't really do much for that.
I think the counter part is like, It does feel important to clarify, both individually and like in your group, what you are counter to. Because if you're making the decision to not participate in dominant culture to some extent, or as much as possible, or whatever, if you're trying to move outside of dominant society, it feels important to me to talk about why you're making that decision. Like, what is pushing you out? And if you're forming a thing that with people that are all making that kind of choice in a kind of in a negative sense, like, to me, that is the part of this that's kind of the more like nihilist informed part of the conversation, right? But getting stuck in that, I think, is also kind of a trap. That you are gonna. Maybe I'm going back on what I said earlier, but in a way, I think activism does get trapped in this thing, and these kind of organizing cultures get, or whatever, subcultures, like counter, if we're gonna call them countercultural spaces, like they get stuck in a thing of just talking about what they're against a lot of the time, or their way of life together is like pushing that, or, you know, like going to protests or something and like talking about how you're displeased with society and like trying to change it. But there, if you're actually living life together, like there does come a point where you're like, well, yeah, how are we going to eat together? How are we going to speak to each other? Like, what happens if there's conflict? If someone transgresses, like, are we going to cancel them on the internet and they go away? We hope they go away forever. Or how are we like dealing with these questions of actually sharing life? So I think that pushes you past this kind of negative relationship to what you're doing. And the kind of like the like naming of all the no's that you have in common. And then you're having to say like, okay, well, we've gotten that out of the way, or maybe, you know, this conversation, we've moved past that conversation too, and now we actually have to live together. So like, yeah, what are we for? Not in some like revolutionary necessarily sense where it's like some fictitious reality that we're fighting for, but also like, yeah, like when it's fucking dinner time, what does that look like? Or when someone gets mad and fucking whatever, like blows up on someone, like what do we do? And to me, that's maybe when the culture building is happening, you know, when stuff starts getting messy because you're like you're actually living together,
right? And I think one thing is people are scared of messy, you know, which is understandable, because our culture doesn't teach us, or rather it, I don't like the word doesn't, the phrase doesn't teach us. It doesn't allow us to develop strong conflict resolution skills and interpersonal skills that aren't capital related. You know what I mean? Like, we reflect capitalism interactions all the time. And so it's natural people are scared of that, because it also, like, maybe they know intuitively, I don't know how to solve this, and will it ruin the space? You know, I'm curious then. You said something earlier that made me think about this. Like, can a culture of anarchy or an anarchistic culture, can it exist in the material physical context of totalitarianism, of whether it's socialist authoritarianism, right? Like sometime a Marxist experiment, capitalist, fascist, whatever, you know, insert ism here. Or does there have to be a physical separation from these spaces? Like, does there have to be some sort of primitivist-esque, in, you know, dropout? Is that necessitate? You know what I'm saying? Like, is the starting point? Or do we not have to drop out at all? I don't know. I'm curious what you think about that.
To answer this, I would just speak for myself, because I think these are personal. It's kind of a personal question. For myself, I want to drop out as much as possible. I really detest this society. I think the effort that this society has taken to like shape me into the person that I am is causing me a lot of grief to like have to understand and try to undo and address, just even in myself. And that's like, I feel very upset even just by that fact, but also that like I'm constantly forced to do things like work or whatever, you know, or interact with the society. I want as much as possible to live outside of it. I don't think that necessarily, well, let's see, I don't want to go on too much of a side thing, but I do want to drop out. I want to, and this is totally related to trying to build a culture with other anarchists, but inevitably I do come to a point where there are real physical and kind of spiritual barriers to me being able to do that with other people. My capacity for living anarchy with the people in my life is limited by the fact that I'm living in a larger context of a really fucking idiotic society that's bent, like, that's like totally committed to breaking people into being cogs in a machinery that just spreads death everywhere. And so, like, no matter how much I try to live anarchy, like, that is, I'm like constantly bumping against those walls, and I'm having to decide, like, okay, well, is this the limit of me living anarchy because I'm conditioned in this kind of way, or, you know, I have to go to work or I have to pay rent, or am I gonna try to imagine ways that I can push through this thing, which usually means confronting it, like, either in myself, the people around me, or physically, like, confronting an actual physical barrier to my freedom, you know. And so to me, like, building a culture of anarchy or just even like locally, like, it inevitably comes into conflict with the society that it's happening within. And
right.
And like, and those people, or that person, or those people, or whatever, they get to choose, like, okay, like, is that enough? Because the more you come into conflict, like, I mean, this is a fucking monster, you know? So, like,
right.
you're gonna be taking more and more severe risks. Like, the freer you want to be, the kind of more intense the risks are. And yeah, I don't know. I really disagree with the binary thing. And I don't think you're saying that, but I just wanted to kind of address that, like, this these two opposed, maybe, things of the kind of, like, I think maybe this conversation isn't happening as much now, but the lifestyleist versus, like, revolutionary thing or whatever. Like, to me, those things totally are connected. And
right. How could they not be?
Yeah, that never made sense to me. Like, to place them as opposition in opposition to each other, like, totally doesn't make sense to me.
I will say too, and if you don't mind, on mm-hmm. that same topic, not only was it, you know, not to say there weren't divisions, people were already doing this before Butchin came along. I'm not, mm-hmm. you know, I'm known for not liking Butchin so much, but I'm not here to bash him at this moment. But mm-hmm. what I want to say is, I was always weirded out and confused by, after he wrote that, you know, about lifestyleism versus anarchism, right? His idea of, like, these people that just identified out of, like, disagreement almost, or to, like, reappropriate it to identify with lifestyleism in a way they did not necessarily before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what? Like, to me, this idea, which, you know, and then you get into these people that are like, oh, I don't want to change anything. That's not what I'm interested in. And it's like, so you're not an anarchist. Like, it's authoritarian to say, then you're not an anarchist. You might be open to the, we don't have the ability, like, the sort of revolutionary defeatism, which I think is different rather than I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But then, yeah, I'm also in the same thing. How is there a difference between me wanting to live a wild, free, anarchistic life now, separate from, I would like other people to also have that ability, which is what anarchy is in my mind, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's an overreaction to the very collectivist authoritarian shit that passes as anarchism, right? All this, we need to federate and have a global anarchist society, you know, that is like one step away from Marxism. I don't know. That's a whole other thing that's going to upset people, that's going to distract from our conversation about culture. But yeah. But point, I just, well, all that to say, I agree with you.
Yeah, the Bookchin thing, he definitely wasn't the first. I mean, I think Machno and that time, a similar conversation was happening. There's kind of a militaristic, I think, attitude to it that you have to prioritize, or the way I understand the argument is like, we, meaning all anarchists, I guess, should be prioritizing the push towards the victory of revolution on like a national or global scale. And so the things that distract from that are distractions, like, are, shouldn't be emphasized. And I think maybe the vision, I just disagree with even that vision in a way, because it kind of implies that there is a singular anarchy or a singular like revolutionary push. I don't know. I to me, the creation of localized, or like creation, whatever, like the kind of like encouraging local cultures that are anarchist or are explicitly anarchist or just are in, I don't know, maybe I don't want to box it in that much, but are anarchic or something.
I follow what you're saying.
Like, the encouraging of that on a local level, actually, to me, like, is a better strategy if you're trying to kind of be a problem for the bigger kind of political world, rather than forming a thing where you're like, hey, like, doing something that reminiscent of a party line almost, where you're saying like, all right, like, we need to kind of get together and follow this strategy or whatever, and don't worry, don't like think about how you're living your life or whatever, or like, don't, you know what I mean, like, this kind of homogenizing militaristic push, I think, is playing into the hands of the kind of political logic where it is these like large camps of people with defined values that are like whatever duking it out on the global level. Like, to me, I think that's just, or whatever, like, I feel trapped by the winning losing strategy thing, but
right.
maybe to bring it down a bit, it's also not the world I want to be living in. Like, an anarchist victory that causes a homogenous anarchist world, to me, is not an anarchist victory.
Yes, like, yes.
An anarchist, like, what I would actually want is an infinity of different ways of living that people can experiment with and move around in. And
yeah, like, possibility.
Right, and, like, actually, like, a living, like, a truly living world where people can recreate their own surroundings, their relationships, themselves, all of these things. And that doesn't look like hey, let's all get on the same party line or whatever, and all, like, do this one strategy, because to expect that that doesn't change you and your culture and, like, who you are as people is, I think, totally arrogant. And we've seen it time and time again, like, I mean, yeah, Bolsheviks, but also, like, anarchists have fallen into this trap a bunch of times, too. So, I don't know, I'm more in the, like, I'm more interested in disorganizing, if anything, you know? Like, not in a sense of just, like, I'm not just saying, like, oh, we'll be contrarian for no reason or whatever, but, like, no, like, figure out what you want and do that thing, like, with the people around you, and, like, it's fine if it's small, that's kind of better, actually, and, like, the more of that is happening, the harder it is to kind of deal with in terms of repression, but also it makes for a more interesting environment, and I don't know, I just, I went on this, I tried to focus.
No, you're good. This is a difficult conversation. So I'm with you, and I want to reemphasize, I understand that Butchin, again, despite my disagreements, was not starting this issue. It does go back, I mean, you could say it goes back to Stirner, and even in a sense kind of Godwin and the, what he was laying out, and but even some of the collective Bakunin's ideas versus even Malatesta, who we would, most people say, you know, is firmly in the social anarchist revolutionary camp, like, early on, the whole collectivist versus communist thing, later communist versus syndicalist idea of, like, organize the workers versus insurrection and communes, which we have kind of forgotten because those things have kind of become, you know, syndicalism and communism have become synonymous in some senses in anarchist spaces. But yeah, this battle goes long, which is why it's interesting that this conversation has happened for a long time. And we were talking beforehand. The closest I think we get to anarchist culture, intergenerational culture, is when it's aligned with ethnic lines, right? Especially exile communities or communities fleeing, right? The Italian and the Jewish communities and the Spanish communities in the United States, or even you see them in South America too, people forget about, right? But they are it's interesting because they're counter in many ways, they're exiles from their own cultures in a lot of way, but they maintain some of them. So I don't know, I think of Paul Average's stuff on Sacco and Vanzetti, and talking about how some of them are kind of seemingly unintentionally playing with cultural tropes, like how many of them are kind of still Catholic in a lot of ways, despite the fact they're on paper vehemently anti-Catholic. But it's like, can we, in this weird corporate modified world of culture, can it follow the same thing, especially now that the left and many anarchist spaces are so essentialized in terms of culture and race?
What do you mean essentialized?
Like how often it's like there's very, like, we tend to in seeking racial justice and things like that, things get sometimes recreated. But on the same end, maybe as I say that out loud, it's like, wouldn't that actually get us closer to somewhat what it used to be? I don't know, though. I don't know. There's so much to say about this. I almost wish I had written out more and just followed all these trains of, you know, these trails of thought, that especially you're giving me, because I hadn't considered a lot of this. But I'm also curious, like, maybe you've already started to touch on this and you're not interested in doing it again, but is there, how do I ask this, where does one start in seeking a new culture? Like, what's the baseline? Like, we start from here. Is there a place to even start? Like, you know what I mean? What's the common denominator?
I think the ethnic thing that you're referring to with Italian and Jewish anarchists, to me, it's like a shortcut, you know? And because, like, I mean, I've experienced this myself, not necessarily like with a through some very anarchist way, but I'm from a, I'm an, like, I immigrated here. I wasn't born in this country, And for me to have, like, it feels different to have certain cultural things that in the country where I'm from would feel like I'm just being a normie or whatever. But, like, me doing that here does feel like I'm doing some, like, oppositional thing somehow, you know? Because it is different from...
Just the
fact that even if the things are the same, I'm doing it in a different place and I'm surrounded by different, like, rituals and values, it feels like I'm doing something that's in opposition. And I think combined with the anarchist thing, it makes a lot of sense to me how Italians or Jewish people or whatever would kind of huddle together around their cultural or ethnic identity. And if they're also anarchists, that would, like, totally feed, it would feed itself, you know?
Right.
But in...
Go on.
To try to answer, I think the, like, for lack of that shortcut, which I think that is a shortcut, and that's why it's been kind of, in the history of the U.S., it's been kind of successful or whatever, it's, like, noticeable that that's happened a bunch of times.